right, welcome. Podcast number 29. I've got Councillor Vicky Lefebvre, who's been with me on council for like a ton of years here. We don't have Mr. Nagoya. He's off in Winterland working on many action items coming in through the email. Last couple of days have been overwhelming, I think, some of the stuff coming into City Hall. So he's going to pause and not come on this podcast. But so we have Councillor Lefebvre, and this is podcast number 29. Now, Vicky, I know you're a little bit of a hockey fan. Did you know that a famous Maple Leaf goalie wore number 29 way back when? Who do you know who that could have been?
Is that just who you said?
No. Oh, boy.
You've got me there. My mom was a hockey fan. My daughter's a hockey fan.
Well, Dan, that helps us do this. He's saying Felix Potvin was a goalie for Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know which years, but I think he was playing for the Leafs when I kind of left Toronto, but maybe before that. But great goalie and good call on 29. We're so loyal to the Toronto Maple Leafs. This could be the year, Vicky. This could be the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup final. You and your husband were sailing around the world there, and you went on a pretty cool cruise. And maybe just talk about some of the places you visited.
Oh, geez, it was so exciting. We went to Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. We went to Northeastern Africa. We went to Zanzibar. It sounds so cool. Madagascar. If anything, when you go to these countries, it gives you an appreciation to come home to what you have here. Yes, they have beautiful weather. Very, very hot at plus 32. And I felt like it was maybe 100 plus in precipitation. It was just very hot. But they have their struggles too. Everybody around the world has their own different type of struggles. But it was nice to see. And you know, the people you meet there, they're just always happy. I don't know how to explain that. They're smiling. A lot of these people have very, very little compared to you, and yet they're happy. And you have to take pleasure in that and hope you're bringing them some income. Like, we like tourists coming here. They like tourists going there. So I feel very blessed to have been able to do
that. Beaches were cool?
Yes. I'm not a beach person, but I'll go around them. I thought of you guys. There was a few that you would really like.
Zanzibar is very unique.
Yes. And Seychelles. You were excited about that place.
Seychelles.
One place I thought you would really like. You walk around, bike around, beautiful beaches. It was pretty cool.
Cool. Well, we better talk business. So we came out of the gate with a press release the other day. Extreme disappointment in the provincial budget. Certainly, you know, we've mentioned it many, many years. There's just the big cash cow called the Cold Lake Oil Sands is the gift that keeps giving. And, you know, roughly about $3 billion on average goes from the Cold Lake Oil Sands to the province. And then the feds get their take also on top of that. But once again, in the provincial budget, just a lack of money flowing to northeastern Alberta. Certainly, there's a little bit of money going up on the Conklin Highway, up 881, when they designed that highway. Anybody's been on it, pretty narrow shoulders on there. So they're going to work on that. That's an important project for the oil patch. And then there's some extensions on 63 going further north past Fort McMurray into the oil sands up there. But just once again, 28's off the charts, not on there. Now, the crutch they're putting on defense is that they're involved in the planning stage, that there was $5 million put right now for planning. And the argument that we have is that was 2023 that the planning was done. And if you look at the planning that's done on other highways in the province, usually everything turns around within 3 years that you start investing in the highway. And so not to see in the 2026-27 capital a number there, because that's what we were looking for, is just give us a bone, give us $50 million, give us $100 million. Because you know, I mean, these people behind transportation, they've done highways forever. They know what that thing's going to cost. You know, even the distance between Cold Lake and Bonnyville, you know, close to 100 kilometers, if that's going to get twinned, you know that that's going to come in at X amount of money. Why don't you start putting it in the 26-27 capital, and it's not there. And what's when people need to dive in to see where the province is spending the money. It's shocking when you look at Edmonton-Calgary corridor, and just even on LRT. Now, federal government really gives the province a lot of money in LRT, but the province still has to step it up. It's almost $3 billion is being spent over the next 3 years in those two major cities, and they're still not happy. And so, you know, our argument up here is that, you know, if we're sending $3 billion down the highway to Edmonton every year, why in the world you're not putting back some up on the Highway 828 corridor? So we came out with that press release. You know, what did you think of the press release, Vicky?
Well, actually, I really liked it. Sometimes I think, what is the quote? They consider the Canadians the poor cousins. Sometimes I'm thinking Colette might be the poor cousins out here. Anyway, on our Highway 28, we seem to be missed. And as you've mentioned, we've been advocating all the municipalities all the way up for years.
Yeah.
It's not something we just started asking for last week. And we've said the importance of it, especially when we have some growth we're expecting here, that highway will be used more. And the more it's used, actually, the more it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some terrible spots on there.
Yeah, and when you look at the projects coming in front of us with the F-35, I mean, I don't think people understand the magnitude of what's going to happen on the wing. Yes, it's a bit behind schedule, but, you know, that's a big, huge building, 50,000 square meter building. And Ellis Don wants to get it done right with the federal government, and they're in the design mode right now. And massive building, and Lockheed Martin is very involved in the particulars of that building because the F-35 is such a secret plane. And so we're anticipating that construction will start maybe late this year. But certainly when you look at the, you know, the 3 to 5 year projection of the amount of people coming here to work and the amount of logistics of moving all of that equipment up here, up to Cold Lake, I mean, they're all going to be traveling on 28. And then you throw in the carbon capture, you know, who knows how busy it's going to be here. So the earliest that the province is going to be moving dirt, if they keep this trend going, would be the 27-28 capital. And you know, our argument right now is that with oil prices above what the province is forecasting right now in their financials, when they start kicking in these surpluses, which they will, maybe they need to really sharpen their pencil again and come back and revisit 28 and put, you know, $50 or $100 million, put it right away into this highway come 26, 27. You know, it's frustrating. I know the business community is extremely not happy. So we sent out a press release with our thoughts, and hopefully other communities are going to jump on board and express their disappointment.
Well, I'm hoping we can meet with the minister and really try and advocate again the importance, because once the machinery and equipment get on there, it'll only get worse.
Yeah,
only get worse, and that is dangerous.
Yeah, I remember when the late Jim Prentice was running, and he fell off the during the leading up to an election, he fell off the bus that was transporting him around to different communities as he was campaigning. And we remember we were at the AUMA that year, and he talked about Highway 28, and we're going, finally, a premier is talking about 28. But you know, we myself and Kevin Nagoya, the CAO for City, we were in Saskatoon. The mayor of North Battleford sent out a letter to all of the communities in Western Canada had dealt with the top 20 with the crime severity index. So everybody got a letter, and City got one, and he wanted to host this sort of forum, one-day session in Saskatoon. And so we had quite a few communities there that took him up, everybody from, you know, Northern BC, Langley, BC was one community, and in Portage la Prairie. And so there was you know, quite a few communities came from Saskatchewan, Alberta, and a few from Manitoba and BC. And it was good session. We talked about how when you're rated the worst, or in our case, I think we're like ninth or something, that it does impact doctors wanting to come to your community or businesses wanting to attract businesses. And it's unfortunate because the CIS is based on statistics. So if you have a murder in your community, it's given X amount of points. And then if you just have mischief, that's given certain points. And so they look at the charges and the convictions, and it gets scored out. And, you know, what we said at the meeting is we're not hiding behind our numbers. We all know that our numbers are high. But we have that one individual in Coal Lake that has over 250 charges, mostly all mischief charges. But when you take that 250 and you times it by the factor, it throws our score up really high. And so his point was is that it's based on communities 10,000 and higher. And the mayor of North Battleford was arguing, and everybody was sort of joining up with him, is that FCM only considers rural municipalities 100,000 and under, right? And so, you know, maybe they should just cut that CSI off at 100,000 and call it a day. And so us all small communities wouldn't even be factored in the session, in the statistics. Or you go down to communities of one. And so then you could look, because there was a professor there from the University of Regina, I believe is where he's from, did a fantastic presentation on just looking at even small communities, like communities of about 1,300 people, and their CSIs versus everybody else that was in the room. And we would all be moved way down the scale, and all these smaller communities would be up there, eh? And so that was interesting. And then he came in with a different model on scoring crime in your community. And so so we're just trying to reach out to the statistics and saying, look, this needs to be revisited. It does play a disadvantage because it's all about headlines. McLean's is going to go out and grab that headline and talk about, you know, how unsafe your community is.
Yes, and I heard you saying where it can show that your crime rate's gone up 100% if there's been a murder, but you never had one before, so now it's gone up 100%. Yep. That represents one. We also don't know what goes behind that. Was it, you know, behind the actual stat? So I'm sure they can put figures in there to help adjust them. Also, we are aware of what happens within our community, and all communities work on trying to fix it up. And you come from a multiple different levels, whether it's the policing, whether it's your FCSS, whether it's your healthcare. Like, you work on trying to make it a better place. You know, we've been working for a good 3 years now to try and work on our situation. We've made a lot of it better, and then other things kind of jump up. But we do have to hold our federal counterparts accountable for when we have a revolving door, because a gentleman or female, I shouldn't have made that assumption, sorry, has so many crimes against him. Why is he still out and performing this in the community?
Yeah.
So that would be some questions that they have to ask, right, before you can pin a neighborhood down for having something against them.
Yeah, I think the last open house when the RCMP, I think they talked about five individuals having, 20% of the incidences at the station, right?
I know, and people say, well, go after your top five. They do get them. But if they don't stay anywhere, they come back, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, they tend to come back to a place that they know.
Yeah. It was interesting. I don't know if your street's done, Vicky, in front of your house, but the staff and the contractors are out blading the snow to the middle of the road. We're just starting to do residential snow clearing. We took care of the main arteries. I had an interesting call yesterday, a gentleman that came in from Ottawa and was unaware of how we actually move snow. And he was concerned that the snow wasn't out of his residential street yet. And so I explained to him that, you know, we have a different process here where we actually take the snow and we take it somewhere else. And a lot of people don't know that. And one of the big reasons we do that is because of the situation of flooding. And the water table underneath Coal Lake is so close to the surface that if you start saturating the ground with the spring melt of the snow, could lead to difficulties if you get a ton of rain in April. And so we pick it up and move it and then position it in two locations, one in the south, one in the north. And so, he didn't know that we're doing that. And then, I explained to him that half of the snow clearing is done by private sector, so it's not all city forces. And so they both do a tremendous job. So the staff I see are out there blading out to the center. They're putting up the signs, trying to get people to not park on the side of the roads. It's unfortunate. In our community, we have a lot of people that work shift works and some that might be on vacation and put their car on the side of the road knowing that we didn't even have any snow until just this past weekend. And so life has changed dramatically. How about your road? Is it done?
No. Mine's not done yet. But I have found the site on the city website because I've sent it out to a few people asking me.
Nice.
It's snow removal and sanding. So you can go right to the website and see it. It also has a map so you can figure out where your house is and then when they're going to be coming around your place. And it'll save you a little bit of stress, not worrying, thinking they're going to come today and they don't, whatever. So that's a good place to check out. It's also posted on our Facebook and stuff like that. And we just have to realize it's a population of 15,000 people. We only have so many people to get out there with their trucks and clear it and pick it up and everything else. And like any other place, you do the most important places first. I mean, you have to open up your hospitals and your things like that so that the business can carry on. But yeah, and so even I have a 4x4, I know how to just kind of take that corner kind of fast.
Okay, because you're
sliding. Make sure I get through the stuff, but... You know, it's Alberta. What can I say? We need the snow.
Yeah.
So
is that what was our message? Was we're going to clear the roads from the east to the west this year, or the first run, or something? They were going to reverse what they did last year, or something. So they're going to start. Last time, the people on one side of the city didn't get it done. So I heard that they reversed it. But anyways, look out. They'll start getting. I mean, the weather in the coming days is going to be amazing. So. We want to get ahead of that melt, and that's really the big deal, is that we have a lot of infiltration into our sewer system by melt. And so, unfortunately, the way Cold Lake was designed way back when is that our sewage, great subject, is carried by a series of lift stations. And so we have to be very careful of infiltration of other melt in causing the level in the lift station to rise past what the pumps can handle. And then, of course, that liquid is going to go somewhere of less resistance, which unfortunately can be somebody's basement. So, you know, try to explain to newbies that come to Cold Lake that our ground is a bit challenging. You got to be careful in Cold Lake. You might buy a house on the top of the hill and you think, I'm wonderful, but it might be a spring right there. And that's that whole Beverly Channel underneath you. You got a big, huge lake underneath Cold Lake.
Yeah, and I think you do a great job of telling our students, too, because they don't mind that we have to spend this, you know, 50-some million on our stuff. So they're fully aware of what happens, and I think it's good for the community to know that, too. These things happen, but we try and work to prevent a lot of stuff within the city.
Yeah, interesting. You're talking about sewage. I mean, unfortunately, the tenders came out, and no big surprise. On our wastewater treatment plant, and we need more money. It was one of the requests that we had into the province to see if they would help top it up, and we got a polite zero. And, you know, and it just ties into the frustration that we're having. There's a reason why our population's growing here. We're a community of choice. And so we're seeing a lot of little extra nuggets to some of the faster-growing communities out there, like Airdrie and Chestermere and Cochrane. And, you know, it's going to be hard for the Northeast ever to compete with Edmonton and Calgary and how fast they're growing. It's just not going to happen. And we've got to be cautious that we're putting all of the money in certain corridors and forgetting about the Edsons and the Hintons and the Jaspers and the Cold Lake and Bonnievilles areas. And so it's a little bit red flag right now. It's very concerning that we get left out again. But, you know, one of our, Kevin's done a great job keeping council update on the security issues at the Energy Center. And so we had in front of council that we're going to be moving to more of a containment of the hallways on the first and second floor in the Energy Center. And some of the patrons are going to see that over time as there'll be security gates, those big doors that can come down. And trying to limit the access during the day. Everything will be wide open at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But the idea is to sort of compress the activities, the space Don't cut off the food courts, but it just compress the space because that place is huge.
Yes, and it's definitely, like a lot of people have mentioned, we should have security there, but it's hard to have security on three floors. So if you only have one person, he can be on the first, something happens on the second. He's on the second, it happens on the first. Most of the people doing any of these damages really know where everybody's at. So if we can stop the ability to go to these places where nobody's around, that doesn't need to be used during the day, then it just makes it a safer place.
Yeah, absolutely. Good comments, sir. So that'll come in front. I mean, it'll be probably a 6-month to a year process, but people will be seeing that get done over at the Energy Center. Council's not supporting a full-time security guard at the Energy Center. It just compounds and it's just starting to look at it. 100,000 is getting into 0.5% of a tax increase. So we're just going to go up with the gates and the doors. We just released the Cold Lake summer or June fishing tournament, and we were told before we came on air over 100 people have already registered. We only have 300 slots, I think it is. That's determined by the fish biologist. He or she gives out 700 sort of licenses or whatever you want to call it, slots for the two tournaments. And so the summer one, the city is comfortable in letting Age Friendly have 400 for the winter, and we'll come in and get 300. And so that'd be exciting because, you're going to have at least over 100, 150 boats enter the tournament, and that's all about economic development, bringing out-of-towners into Cold Lake to come fishing. I was quite surprised the ice fishing tournament, Vicky. It didn't pass 90 centimeters. I was calling for 91.5. The fish looked like they're coming in smaller on Cold Lake, and we should possibly see a change in the fishing regulations possibly this spring. We'll see if that happens on Cold Lake. I know some of the fishermen are wanting a slot size, and we'll see if that ends up happening in the regs when the regs come out. Big tournament in June. Are you guys going out?
You know, for living here most of our life, those Lakers are rather elusive.
Okay, they're elusive.
And the ones that we do catch are not big enough. So until they can bring that slot size down to what we catch, I may not enter a derby just because. But I do love watching everybody. And my husband goes out, like he's gone out and chatted with all the people on the ice. And truly, they were excited to come here. I seen some awesome fish coming out, whether it was even some of them had burbot and jack and everything else. So I think that's another reason why our Highway 28 is so important, is the province wants us to look at other things to be diverse in what we're looking for economic development, and tourism is certainly one of them. And that lake is a jewel.
Yeah.
Winter and summer.
She's a crowded highway on a Friday heading eastbound out of Edmonton. And all the people coming up to not only Cold Lake and the parks up in this region, the Lakeland area, but also in Saskatchewan. I mean, we filter a lot of vehicles to Saskatchewan. A lot of people go north Saskatchewan for fishing.
Well, and being listed part of one of the best beaches, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kinnisu
Beach. It's going to be happening.
So there's lots of stuff happening this summer, too, for people to come out with the air show. Like, it'll be well used this year alone. So
kids, Vicky, are going to be ecstatic because finally there's going to be a returning mechanism on the zip line. Now, whether or not there's any water for the zip line, we can't control that. But we can possibly, I hope that staff get it ordered and installed for this season. I mean, the kids might be just zipping on sand, but that lake, she's down big time.
Well, that was one of the things they asked for. And believe it or not, I know sometimes our constituents don't think we hear what they're asking for, but we do try and implement as much as we can to make everybody's lives better and have more fun too.
Yeah.
You can go to the lake and it's free. You know, people are worried about money and everything else. You can go down to the beach and it doesn't cost you anything. If you're worried about food, stuff like that, you can bring your own. Like, we do make this a place to live. Our recreation systems are second to none.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Wicked Water Sports has a great venue down there in the beach and has boat service out in the marina. And, more people, Russ Robertson and his wife have that more of an executive boat, getting goat and cruise. So people are looking. I know that there's a lot of people doing charter fishing. But, you know, it's a gem of a lake. We're very fortunate to have it. One of the interesting thing about Coal Lake, there's very few cabins on the lake. So it's not like Ontario where it's all Crown land pretty much and First Nation land.
I've told you where we can put some cabins, but you guys don't listen.
Right on, Vicky. But, you know, it's a cool place to live, and hopefully we get the spring rains and get that water level up. It will be a challenge if we don't. There's going to be some boats that I don't think are going to be able to get in the marina this year because the water's down so much. So there's a Coal Lake's always lots of things to do, and so we put a few things down. So we've got on the board here. So we've got the MS Ski Joring.
Joring, yes.
And that's for those that have never gone. It's pretty cool. Crazy people are on skis or snowboard and getting pulled by a horse. And you know, it's pretty cool. It's all for MS, and the Purdy's do a great job putting it on, and all the volunteers. So it's Saturday at the Agriplex, and I'm sure you can find it on Facebook or something. The details, but I think it starts around 11-ish in the morning, but don't quote me on that.
I don't know. You can check out the Facebook page. Probably be on our page as well. I'm not sure when it looks at different things happening. It is so interesting, and those guys do scary things, but we went last year for the first time, and we certainly enjoyed it. Actually, I think one of our ex-counselors, Mr. Hooden, his son was doing that, Brad.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool to watch it.
I saw Hubert this year at Mudfest. I think it was at Mudfest I saw Hubert. Looking great.
Yeah.
Came out and visiting family. You know, he was on council quite a while ago, but he was a great counselor. I loved his debating was amazing. Him and Bob used to go at it, and that was hilarious. And during speeches at FCM or at AUMA, Hubert would always provide some color, and we miss him. You know, he was one of the guys that deserves a lot of credit on the pill file. He's the one that brought that forward, and we still have championed his thoughts.
His works.
Yeah.
His works, yeah, for sure. I think sometimes people question why counselors are on council, but I think it's true that everybody's here wanting to make Coal Lake a better place, and they all go about it in the ways that they can from whatever avenues that they come within the community.
Yeah.
But we all have one goal. We're all completely different, but we come to an agreement in the end on what we feel is best for Coal Lake. And I think we can all take a lot of pride in there. And I think our citizens should be happy, because I had an interview the other day. What is it like being a woman in politics?
Ooh.
And I said, well, it's okay. Everybody wants to serve. It's another way to serve. I do feel we look at things a bit differently than a man, because we look, I guess I probably can't even say man, but we look at things through a different lens. We come from our experiences. So I think it's great to have equity on our council and stuff like that, with everyone still having the ultimate goal, what's best for our council.
Well, good words.
And that leads into what's happening this weekend as well, is Women of Influence.
That's
happening on Friday night. And that's something I think everybody should take in. You see people and you hear about people within your community, because we all have our small groups. We don't necessarily get out in all the different places. And then you can hear about what some of these women are doing in your community. And I have to admit, you're in awe.
Yeah.
It's you're pretty proud of them.
Yeah, no, there's some great women in the Coal Lake and surrounding area. And so Friday night, I think there's still tickets available, but that'll be fun. That's always a fun gala. And for me, I get to walk the winners down the red carpet. So that's always a highlight.
Well, it might be their highlight too.
Oh, I don't know about that. But yeah,
no, but we appreciate your support, because truly you support everything within the community. And that's one thing sometimes gets forgotten, is like the women do a lot of things within the community.
Absolutely, yeah.
Usually quietly.
You've been nominated?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I just consider myself a quiet worker.
Oh my God, I didn't know that, Vicky. Okay, well, that's a shout out to the audience there. Gosh. Diamond and Studs. Now that's now that has been a long-standing gala, and used to be just for ladies. And now they're opening it up to the men, which is good. Now the studs, I guess, are going to be there. I guess now the title is more appropriate now. So
now you're making my face.
So that's it. Well, I got to have some fun with you, Vicky. But yeah, Diamond and Studs is coming in a couple of weeks, and of course, I'm sure they still got tickets available. Usually it's, I know when it was just the ladies were there and no men. I heard it was a pretty rowdy party and a big fundraiser. They did really well, and it's all for a good cause and, for child care in Cold Lake North, and a business that's running up there, long-standing business for many, many years.
Well, and child care is very important. We know we have a very young demographics, and to be able to go out and work, you want to feel good that your children are being taken care of, because if you don't feel good, you're not going to work, and then that affects our economy and everything else. So it's very important, and I'll say never underestimate a woman.
Yeah.
That could be someone's biggest downfall.
Right on. Well, Vicky, we did a good podcast without Kevin, our leader. But we had some fun, and hopefully we can put some kids to sleep. Like, that's my highlight on these podcasts, is parents tell me that they put us on, and the kids fall asleep in their crib. So, maybe we put a few Cold Lakers to bed.
Well, I hope we made them think. That's what I'm looking for. I hope they didn't go to sleep. But thank you for having me today.
Sure.
I appreciate that. I like that we let our citizens know what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's good. I think we're optimistic that the 2024 is going to be busier, and we're looking for all the events. And just sort of, I think we need to relax more. I think everybody's pretty uptight, and we just need to get some fun back into life. And certainly, supporting the hockey teams, the Junior Bs did well. They finished early in the playoffs, but the Junior A's are still out there playing, and Bonnieville Pontiacs are playing in the playoffs. So, taking a minor hockey game even, or soccer.
Yes.
And lacrosse is going to be firing up. And just come and watch the kids, because that's really what life's about.
Yes.
We'll end it on that.
Have a great week.
All right.